God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Bon
Dieu
bon. Tout l'air. It's good to be saved.
Sure.
Some people are forgetting. Just last year I was here. What an honor it is to be back. Could I just say this? You've, I don't know if you guys know that, but you've got a great man of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
As your pastor. You know, sometimes the saying goes, you never miss the well till the water runs dry. And I pray that does not happen until you guys recognize what God has blessed you with.
Mm-hmm.
He really has a passion and for souls that is unique, uniquely different to a lot of pastors that we have in pulpits across America. I've traveled almost all over America preaching. And churches with bigger congregation would not make that much of an impact as you guys are doing. And I believe it's down to the heart of your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
For souls, not just here, but across the world. And we pray much for him because we don't have many like that around. We have many people who have talk, but that's about it. Not many preachers are willing to take mission trips to Haiti, go to the Philippines, or go to Africa and the danger spots with the gospel. I keep talking to him. I want to find the secret of his energy.
Mm.
And he gave me one or two of the vitamins pills. And I am going to check out the area here and buy it. Because he has more energy than I could ever imagine. We do a lot, but nothing much compared to what God has done for us.
Amen.
And I feel honored to preach the gospel.
Amen.
It's also a privilege to have a long, long, when the devil was still a little boy, Dennis Celestin was already on the earth. And I call him the uncircumcised Philistine. But he really is a good friend. He graduated the year I got into Bible College in St. Vincent. But over the years, God have really blended our hearts together.
Yes, sir.
He has a passion for souls. He has a passion in starting churches on Grenada and to reach his country for God. And I thank God that I know him. And we've been doing a lot together. We've been preaching a lot together. And again, it's an honor, privilege to speak to you. Thank you so much for your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for allowing your pastor and his wife to come to St. Lucia. God used him greatly. He preached some messages on power and authority.
Oh, yeah.
It was well received. And so much so they're demanding he comes back again this year. There is a real drought in the Caribbean for good preaching like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we gather the pastors, the wives, and the workers in St. Lucia and try to minister, try to impact, try to influence, try to encourage them, try to tell them they're special because they don't hear that too often. And you pray for us this year. It's going to be the week of the 7th to the 11th of November. And we're looking again to see what God will do. So you keep praying for us. Again, thank you for all what you've done. And we look ahead to what God will do this week. Please be praying. Please pray. And come with a heart prepared. I'm happy the emphasis is on you, the church. Because I believe if the church gets it right, the unsaved will get saved.
Yeah. That's
I believe you're placed in a very perfect position and location to reach the world for God. Job chapter 42. Let's all stand, and I like to hear the congregation read the word.
Yes, sir.
The word of God gives life. The word of God is the inspired word. The word of God is important for the believer. And if we get heed to the word of God, it's amazing what change will take place in our lives. Doesn't matter what your culture is, doesn't matter what your nationality is, the word of God cut across all barriers. I've been following you guys as y'all went to China and we're praying through Facebook. I kept following you guys, and I was very much, yes. Okay. I was following guys and praying that God would keep you guys safe while you guys were in China. And follow the results and rejoice with you guys over those many professions. But even more so, I'm rejoicing tonight about the other one who trusted Christ. But let's read from verses 10 through 17. 10 through 13. Job chapter 42. Job 42. God is good. Job 42. Verse number 10, and you should be there by now. We all read it loud and read that together from verses 10 through 13. The Bible says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job." To note verse number 12. And if you read the entire chapter, but for time, but not there's something unusual in verse number 12. We know what happened to Job. Mm-hmm. We know Job was a righteous man. We know the history. But I was taken, Brother Byron, in verse number 12. The Bible says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more,
yes, sir,
than his beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going through some things in my life. You know some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want God to use me.
Right.
I was born in 1959. And the Bible says 80 and 10. I'm not far from it. I want the end of my life to really be a blessing.
Yes, sir.
I want God really to use me in a greater way. I want more of God's blessing in my latter end than my beginning.
That's right.
Father, would you please, we need your help. Would you give unction? Would you give power? Oh God, would you challenge this church? You've been so good to this pastor, his wife, and his congregation. You've worked miracles upon miracles. And sometimes we can get complacent. Sometimes we take these things just for granted. May the reality of what you've done for this church spur them onto greater heights. May each young person, adult in this place, each child determine to do more. We are aware of the workings of the enemy behind his forces. And glorify yourself even tonight. We ask in Christ's name for his sake. You may be seated. The songwriter. I'm just going to read just two verses. The second verse of 482. More about Jesus,
yes, sir.
Let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. The last verse, more about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory, all his own. More of his kingdom, sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness, see. More of his love who died for me. What is it that is motivating your preacher? Where is he getting his energy from? Where is he getting his passion from? What is it that is keeping him going? What is it that is motivating you and pushing you to go where not many Americans want to go? And even some Caribbean guys don't want to go.
Yeah.
What is it that is getting that guy to eat the food that my stomach says no?
Yeah.
Now, I'm from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it? Have you ever asked yourself, why is my preacher so obsessed with souls? Why is my preacher giving so much money out to missions and pushing us to give and sending out so much money? Why can't we just sit on our coffers? What is so unique about him? What is it? By the way, he's a hero. You understand that?
Right.
And many people put the heroes of painting of Jordan and all the super sports stars and guys who sing and all that stuff. But not many people paint the heroes of their preacher.
Right.
Do you understand? It's what's done for God will last.
Yes, sir.
Why is it that people can come to church excited and pumped up? I'm glad I'm coming to church. I'm glad I can go on a mission trip. I'm glad when people are saved. Why is it he's pushing you tomorrow morning? Let's have service. Preacher, you're crazy. I mean, we're doing a lot already. What's wrong with you? No, what's wrong with you? It's not what's wrong with him. Is what's wrong with you. And as I examine my own life, what is it that keeps me going? What is it that keeps Dennis going? What is it that got us in Iowa in full bloom storm, blizzard? I mean, how I pronounce the word right? With all the snow and I could barely feel my toe. Went knee deep into the snow, go down and give a track in a house. That's foreign to me, that cold weather. Snow is foreign to me, but here I'm in Iowa. I mean, going out and giving track, snow is falling. I'm used to 80s. If it is 60, I go for my jacket.
Yes, sir.
It's cold. Now, we can enjoy ourselves and laugh, but there is a more important question. What is it? Let's flip that around. Do you want more money? How many want more money? Let me see your hand. How many want more education? Let me see your hand. How many want more of your wife? Let me see your hand. How many husbands want more of their wives? Let me see your hand. How many wives want more of your husbands? Let me see your hand. How many children want more of their parents? Let me see your hand. We are in a generation that wants more. More of entertainment, more of secularism, more of education, more of building, more of the best cars. Every year, things are changing. I mean, somebody got me this phone. I can barely use a quarter of it. I'm serious. You guys will help me this week on that. But I can barely use some of that. And by the way, this is a Galaxy 4 notebook. And the young men in my church say, "Preacher, that's not for you. That's for the young guys. That's for me." Just before I left home, they said, "Preacher, when are you giving?" One of the young ladies said, "Preacher, when are you passing this over to me in your will?" But there is an urge for us to get more in this generation. More of secular. More earthly things. But there's a drought for more spiritual things.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you're right.
That's why we come to church dragging. That's why we don't want more of church. That's why we try to limit how many times we come to church. That's why sometimes we have all types of problems in our homes, in our work, and all that stuff, because our minds are focused on the wrong things. And I'm looking at the life of Job. And I want to speak on the topic, I want more. I want more. Not more of education. Not more of power. We are in America right now in the peak of election time. And the Democrats and the Republicans grabbing for power. This year in St. Lucia will be election. And the election is in full moon already. People tearing down each other, destroying people's character just for power. Not many people, sadly so, not many in our church wants more of God. Not many Christians, not many preachers, not many church workers want more of spiritual things. In verse number 12, the Bible said, God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. I want to use that phrase in a spiritual context. Not necessarily more of the physical things, but more of the spiritual things. The word more means greater in quantity, greater in amount, greater in measure, greater in number. In other words, God worked in a greater way in the life of Job in the latter end than the beginning. Now, what caused that? What is it in the life of Job? What is it Job had? You find in scripture many times that in the latter end of many people's life, they messed up. Served God all their life during the youthful days, but when they are close to dying, many people mess up. Gave up on a good testimony that they had to their children and the spiritual heritage they had to the church and to the people of God. Job is different. Job is different. What is it in the life of Job? I want to say, first of all, that the pathway of more, as you see in the life of Job, the pathway of more. You know, those who get more spiritual things from God walk a special path.
Yeah. That's right.
It does not happen overnight.
That's right.
That is why your preacher is preaching hard on sin. That is why your preacher is preaching on holiness. That is why your preacher is trying to get people to do right when people not seeing you. There is a pathway of holiness that Job walked. Look at chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I want more. My prayer is by tonight, we will say, I want more of God. I want more of God. I want more of God's blessing. I want the ultimate that God has for me in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not settling for nothing less
yeah.
than the best.
Yeah.
It's a pathway of holiness. Chapter 1. The middle part of verse 1 says, Job was perfect and upright. One that feareth God. You see your Bible? One that feareth God and sheweth evil. Look at verse number 5. It was so that when the days of feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offering, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job continually. Look at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? Watch this. Watch a testimony, a commendation from God himself, not from Job's neighbors. Not from Job's wife who said, curse God and die. We try to please everybody else except God.
Yeah.
You know, God sees me when my wife cannot. God sees you when your husband cannot. God sees you when your pastor cannot. Even goes further than that, God sees the motive of your heart. He sees why you're doing things. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? That's an amazing testimony
yeah.
that Job had with God. Oh, that in our hearts would desire to live such a life.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That God can brag on us. The path of God blessing our latter end more than the beginning is a path of holiness, young man. Holy living. Doing right. Only those who live clean lives qualify for God's more. That is why people say, don't do wrong. Don't do it. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow your feelings. Don't jump the gun. Do right when no one is watching.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Job, Bible said, was an upright man. One that feareth God. He had respect for God. Job honored God. Job lived for God. And the Bible said, not just in Job's life, but Job was also concerned about his own family. No doubt, preacher, Job lived a life of holiness in front of his wife and children. Could you get the irony in the wife's voice? Curse God and die. You know why? Because she knew Job was an upright man all his life. She couldn't get one thing to accuse Job of. Isn't that amazing? That the woman we live with all the time knows every little secret about us. And we stand in church and brag and all that stuff, but they know our secret.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that that woman could not identify one wrong thing in the life of Job? Boy, what a testimony. But not just that. Job extended to his family, to his children. His children were out feasting. I know Job was so concerned, maybe they did something wrong. And Job offered sacrifices for them. Imagine your dad is offering sacrificing for you all guys. Offering animals and all that stuff. And you all know that. Daddy, what are you doing that for? But Job had a concern about his children.
Yes, sir. Yep.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the path of getting more, brother, in your old life, older life, than in the beginning, is a pathway of holiness.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
preacher.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, what hypocrisy. And we blame the young people. Mm-hmm. But you know, the fault is sometimes, most of the times, in our doorstep. As adults, because they see the hypocrisy we live.
Yeah.
They see our lifestyle. They see when we come home how we treat their mother. They know how the mother treat the husband. They see the fighting. They see the harsh words. They hear the harsh words from the house. From mother to father and father to mother. They see the quarreling. They see the fighting. And then Sunday morning you come to church like little saints. No wonder so many young people leave church and turn back and don't want to come to church anymore. No wonder, because the adults have failed. Brother Lou Godano teach and preach a wonderful. I asked him to do a series on that. Second generation Christian. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God bless the latter end of Job more than the beginning.
Amen.
Preacher, how in the world that happened? Because it was a pattern of his pathway of holy living.
That's right.
God help me.
Yes, sir.
You want God to bless the latter end of your life more than the beginning? Of holiness. Young man, it's now. Now, do right. Now, live right.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Remy.
Remy, now, how old are you? Perfect. Live a pure life.
Amen.
Live a pure life, Remy. Remy, live a pure life. Don't follow the crowd.
Amen.
Don't do it. Live right. Live a holy life. Now, I know holiness is a no-no in our society. I know that. I know holiness is laughed upon today. I know purity is laughed upon today.
Yeah.
From the colleges to the high schools to the infant schools that we have at home. Just before I came to the States, the officer in charge of the Southern Division called me and he said a 12-year-old girl have been running from her mother's home and running all over, sleeping in with everybody. 12 years. 12 years. 12 years, she's lost her innocency. At
12 years, she's lost her future. 12 years. And the devil delights in robbing you of your purity. Young man, holiness unto God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's how God will bless your latter end than the beginning. Holy life. I got to move on. But holiness. Holiness. It's a pathway of holiness. But secondly, it's a pathway of honesty. Look with me in Psalm 51. It's a pathway of honesty. Preacher, we want God to really bless our church this year and go on to greater heights for God. Well, determined to want more from God. Have a desire to want more. Psalm 51. It's a pathway of honesty. I'm sorry, Psalm 42. Pathway of honesty. As the what? Psalm 42, verse 1. As the what? Panteth after the so what? After thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? My tears have been by me day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? David says, now, when I remember these things, I poured my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God. The voice of joy and praise, more that kept the holy day.
Wow.
We don't have much of that today in our churches. There's no joy anymore in the house of God. There's no joyous singing in the house of God. You know why? Because there is no honesty. Preacher, why are you saying that? Now look at Psalm 51. Most of us know about this. David sinned with Bathsheba. Look at verse 17. The sacrifice of God are a what? Broken spirit. A broken and what? O God, thou will not despise. You know what I found out? You and I need to keep a short account with God. Ask you a question. How can we come to church and preach and sing and teach while we know our lives are not right? How can we do it? How can we continue living sin and expect the blessings of God in our lives? How can we continue being open rebellion to God and expect God to bless us? How come? Used to be in the old days, the old preachers, the old men would take time out and go by the rocks and go in the mountains and cry out to God. Used to be the old men knew how to walk with God and keep a short account. But now more than ever, it's a known thing for people to live in sin and have no remorse. Mm-hmm. We just don't care. It's the way of the world now, and it's into our churches and into our pulpits. We can do anything we want. Live anyhow we want. believe God will accept it. And we want God to bless our latter end. We don't deal with sin in our lives. And we upset when the preacher preached against sin. Don't ask if he takes action against individuals in the church. We walk out, we go to another church. And we refuse to see it. Our sin. It's we have sin. It's our dishonesty. How will this place be more glorious this year? Each individual must deal with sin. We've got to do this in our lives. And no compromise in that. Young lady, if you want God to bless you, you must deal with sin in your life. You know your life more than anybody else. You know what's taking place in your life. You know what God is touching your life on and say, hey, what's your name? Jasmine. Jasmine, don't go there. Don't do that. You know. And yes, we'll put a cover over it. And we say, we okay. We get away with it. We okay. We don't understand it affects our future life. It affects our future blessings. How I live now before God affects what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
For what I sow is what I will surely reap. You and I need to be honest with God and His word. Listen, sin is still sin.
Right.
I don't care how people call it. It may be accepted now in the States. It may be accepted now in St. Lucia. It may be accepted now all over the world. We may have different names for it, but it is still sin. God don't change His word to accommodate men. We must make the adjustment to meet Him. His word is final. Listen. What was sin in your great-grandfather's day is still sin today.
Yeah.
Brother, what was sin when you were growing up is still sin today. You know what's sad? It's that many of our churches, we've stopped preaching against sin. We stop it. We stop preaching about repentance. Yes, we just want the crowd. I believe it hurts the heart of God. I believe it's hurting the church. A pathway of honesty. Be honest. You go back to Psalm 51. Let's go there. And there's so many scriptures. Look, Psalm 51. Again, Nathan the prophet came to David. David did what was unthinkable. He had adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah, her husband, killed. David thought he had gotten away with it. But there's a God in heaven.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Who sees. And God sent His man. God sent His prophet to King David, the man in charge of the nation of Israel, and a lowly prophet, the man of God. Nathan pointed his finger in David's face and said, "Thou art the man. You've sinned." But there were two different reactions between David and Herod. John the Baptist lost his head. But King David, watch his, no wonder the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge I am not making excuses, God. I am wrong and you are right. Oh, for that to happen today in our churches. That is why we can be more glorious. Because we're not acknowledging sin. We're not honest. It's a pathway of honesty. It's a pathway of honesty. Thirdly, it's a pathway of humility. Let's go back to chapter 1 of Job. Why tell you? Look at verse number 20. This is Job, richest man that you could find in his part of the world. One of the most powerful men that you would find in his part of the world. Bible says in chapter 1, verse 20, then Job arose. And he did what? And what? And then what? And did what? Wow. Isn't that amazing? Most of us would curse God. Most of us would become bitter and angry. Most of us, our pride would get a hold of us. But Job, verse 21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But what a humble man. What a man of humility. A man of humility to yield himself to the will of God in difficult circumstances. He could not understand what was happening to him, but he yielded himself to the will of God. Job said, can I only receive good out of the hand of God? Is it all life is about for me to receive good from God? Not one moment of testing or hard time. That's why the prosperity gospel preachers are false. Could I say that again?
Yes, sir.
That's why the prosperity preachers gospel, they are false. Job couldn't fit in their class. Just like the miserable comforters who came to comfort Job, they would say, Job, it's your fault, it's your sin. This is not easy, but it's a path of getting more from God. I don't know what you may be facing this morning, tonight. You may be going through some difficult thing, but it may be God's pathway for you to get more from Him. Have you considered that? Your sickness, your failures in exams, your loss of job, problems at home, problems at work. There is a path of more, but second, there is a price of more. More is not cheap. More is not cheap in the secular world, but more is not cheap in the spiritual world. Earth's value loses value in context to the more of God. The physical things of this world would lose its value as compared to God's eternal stuff. And so the price of more involves sometimes, most of the times involves less stuff. Less stuff. Preacher, ain't amazing you go to Haiti? They don't have a lot of the world's wealth, but they're happy. They're in touch with God. You travel to St. Lucia. And Brother Celestine, you'd agree with me. Our people in the Caribbean, by and large, they accept the gospel. But the culture of America, because we have cable TV, 24/7, all the stuff, beam down to the Caribbean. It's a smaller world now. Now, used to be, when you gave somebody a track, man, they would gobble it up fast. They would beg you, and people still do. But there's a change, and that's why there's an urgency in reaching the Caribbean. There's a change now. And sometimes when I give out tracks, somebody tell me, give me a dollar instead. Give me a dollar instead. Materialism now is starting to infiltrate the Caribbean. That's why it's urgently needed for us to the gospel. And people believe it's more money that will give happiness. More education that will give happiness. More popularity that will give happiness. A better job would give happiness. But true happiness is found in Him.
Amen. That's right.
And a quality lifestyle in Him.
Yes.
Because there are people all around the world who don't have all the stuff, but are happy and serving God. In fact, some of them have more joy than the millionaires and billionaires of the world. Some of them live in shacks. Some of them have no vehicle. There's a preacher we're trying to help, and he walks for miles to go to church. Rain or no rain. I wonder, would you walk to church in the rain? Would you? For all the cold? The price of more. More family, more fitness, more friends. Most people are in the business of increasing more stuff. The world is pouring it out on television and ads. Stuff, stuff, stuff. Get a drink, get alcohol, get drugs, get sex, get immorality, get this thing, get that thing, and you'll be happy. But the more you get stuff, is the more you want stuff. The more you get into immorality, the more you want to get into immorality. Sometimes more stuff equals less God. There's the price of less stuff. There's the price of less self. Again, I make the point, Job, from being on the throne, is now in the dirt. Not even his friends could recognize him. In fact, people kept away from him. That guy whom everybody would run to is now running from.
Right.
All the friends who were around him is no more. That word friend is an amazing word. You know, I found out people are close to you and your friends because they want to use you. Because they can get stuff from you. But when the stuff is gone, they stuff you. When they're done using you, they stuff you up. They don't want to be your friend. Have you ever been close to a guy or a girl, your ladies and guys, and you call a person and, hey, and you're talking, and then all of a sudden they get tired of you? I'm pretty sure that happened to you. Somebody call you and you see the name of the person. It's amazing, the technology now, and the name would appear. And you just ignore the call. Yeah. Before you had these big telephones, and when you ring, you don't know who's calling, it's your answer. But now, smartphone, the name come up. This is an amazing piece of tool. The names come up. If they're calling from England, it says England. They're calling from America, America. Shoo. And I can determine, I'll answer, but I just let it ring out. It's not the same with the prodigal son. We said his life on righteous living. He had all the friends he wanted.
Yep.
When that was over, they abandoned him. Less stuff, less self.
Yes.
I want to introduce to you lastly the privileges of more. What I'm telling you. Let's go to chapter 42 of Job. Thank God. Thank God. In our text, the Bible says the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. There's several things I have written down. When you and I follow God and honor God and desire God more than anything, when you and I live a life of honesty and you and I live a life of holiness, a life that reflects God, then we get God's power. The life of more means a life of power with God. Job's attitude was, I'm going to honor God. And the Bible says the Lord turned his captivity. It was the Lord answered his prayer. It's a wonderful thing, you know, preacher, when you really have some issues going on and you really want someone to pray, you want to call upon somebody who you know is walking with God. It was an honor to Brother Fisher to call the two of us to pray. But if you know someone is not walking right and you really need an answer from God, you will not ask them to pray. But you go back and reflect on the person's life you're asking to pray. It was not a one-time thing. It was a continuous walking with God. God answered Job's prayer. Job had more power with God. Wouldn't it be amazing that you could talk to God? The Bible says we have because we ask not. Isn't it amazing what you guys understand what God has done for you? Hey. Open door. You guys understand what God has done here? Do you understand that? How many were praying that God would work in a mighty way here? I put my hands up. I was praying. God answered your prayer. Isn't that amazing? Is that a wonderful thing? I mean, you guys are relaxed. I mean, I envy you guys. You guys are wonderful. You guys have a wonderful building. And to think you got it for a quarter of what? That's a miracle. Brother, there were some really people who knew God,
yes,
who prayed for you.
Yeah.
Some people who had power with God and talked to God. Some people were a friend of God.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that you have a friend and you call a friend to do something and a friend know a friend and friend know a friend and before you know it, everything is done already. More with God, young lady, means more power with God. More power. And I don't know about you. I need the power of God in preaching. I need the power of God to live. We need His power tonight. I could preach till doomsday, till my throat, my face turns white. But nothing will happen except God more. More with God means more power. Preacher, I want power with God. My feeble attempt. We had a wonderful time in the conference and Brother Triba preaching in prayer. Boy, that really moved me. I need power with God more than anything else. More than stuff.
Yes, sir.
More than the house. More than the building. Power with God. The more of God means more power with God. It's less of ourselves. It's more of Him. God answered Job's prayer. But not just that. Isn't it amazing? The miserable comforters who came, Job prayed for them.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that's another message. But the Bible says, and when God saw Job prayed for them, God rewarded Job. You know something? When you have power with God, you can forgive easily the people who wrong you. Are we okay?
Yeah.
You having problems in forgiving people? Your neighbor, your church member, your church worker, your Christian brother and sister in the church, wives, forgive your husband. Husbands, forgive your wives. Children, forgive your parents. Parents, forgive your children. Church member forgiving each other. That's a plague.
Yes.
Because we have power with God. When we have power with God, listen, when we have power with God, it becomes easier for us to forgive people who's messed us up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The more power with God, the privilege of more is you have more power with God. Power in prayer. Power in blessings. Power to live our lives above what is required. The more of God means more of God's provision. That's the last one. You realize that? Job, first of all, prayed for his miserable comforters. And after Job prayed, got power with God, the last thing God gives is the material stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens? All these things shall be added unto you. We try to get in the reverse. Let's get more of stuff and then try to get more of God's power. It does not work. After he prayed, then God gave more. Job again became the millionaire. God blessed the latter end of his life more than the beginning. He had more of an impact, my sister. And I try to stay away from you as much as possible. You told me you've got the flu, so I'm going to stay from this direction. But isn't it amazing that God can use you more in the ending of your life than your beginning? I want God to use me more in the latter end of my life. And the Bible says, God gave him more stuff. Because if my life pleases God, stuff is easy to come by. You understand that? How old are you? 16. Wife, husband, these things, yeah. Boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm talking to these younger ones. Y'all, Don't look for girlfriend and boyfriend. Look more of God.
Yes, sir.
You guys understand that? She's watching you, preacher. Listen, let your focus be more on God, becoming more godly. The more godly you become, the more your value triples. Get more of God, not more of boyfriend. Get more of God, not more of girlfriend. Because when you get more of God, you'll get the husband. You'll get the wife. You'll get the education. You'll get the job. You'll get the promotion. Because it is God who gives power. It is God who promotes. It is God who demotes. It's God who provides. It's God who protects. It's God who blesses. It does not come on our own. This thing did not happen just by itself. It's God who blessed.
Yes.
I'm amazed at that story. How God did it. It's all God. Listen. You want this to be more glorious this year? Desire in your heart more of God. Run after him, not boys and girls, not things, not education. Run after God. Desire God with your whole heart. Spend more time with him. Cry out more to God. This church will be more glorious this year than you could ever imagine. And your life will be more blessed this year than you could ever imagine. And as you and I get older, Brother Aaron, we'll not be grumpy old men and miserable old women. One of the things I think of my mom. You know, you go to church sometimes and you get around some old saints of God and they are so bitter. They are so bitter and angry. And they are coming and making a U-turn. Preacher, I don't know. You're protect. That happened to you. But I'm in church and I can say that. I'm in church and I'm getting ready to preach and here comes one who's bitter. Hey, pastor, I want to talk to you. I say, oops. Make a U-turn. Because bitterness is contagious. God help us. I'm so happy what God is doing here. But this can be more glorious than you ever believe. Desire more of God. Let's pray. Father, this first night of this revival meeting, it's for your people. God, every one of us should really want more of you. When we look at the life of Job, God, you bless the latter end of his life much more than the beginning. May we want more of you. Please. Oh, the young ones in this church, may desire more of you. The adults in this church, may desire more of you. More about Jesus. More. May this be the theme in our hearts.
Pianist come and play an invitation, and if God's speaking to you tonight, you want more of Jesus, then Why don't you be able to come tonight? We're gonna pray, and the altar will be open. And if you want to come tonight, say, Lord, I want more. And Lord, less of these other things, Lord, more of you. And in the latter end, your future is bright if you're serving God. No matter what your age, no matter where you are, Job looked like his life was destroyed, but the latter end was blessed. Father, thank you for the chance to hear this good message, good Bible doctrine and truth and practical. And Lord, I pray today that we would desire more of you and more at the latter end and do what's right and be honest and be humble. And I pray that you'd bless and those who would humble themselves before you in these things. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. And I pray as there's many subjects all across this whole spectrum of life, I pray that we would seek your kingdom first and seek you first and see you work. In Jesus' name. Piano's going to play, heads bowed, eyes